Take your Bibles. We're going to take just a one-week break from the book of Daniel tonight since it's Valentine's Day. And I want to use a verse, a very familiar verse, from the book of John, chapter 3, verse 16. You probably don't need to turn to it. I don't need to turn to it because we could all quote it. But let me read it. Tonight I want to just talk for a couple minutes on God's Valentine. God's Valentine. Of course, that verse says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I hope you took advantage of the day, like Brother Wayne testified that he did, and told your Valentine in some way or another that you love them. Maybe it was with a card, maybe it was with a box of candy or a balloon or some other expression of your love, but I hope you took advantage of the day. If you didn't, it's only 7 o'clock, you still have time. So do it before the day is over. I think God enjoys holidays. I think he enjoys holidays like Valentine's Day especially. The second greatest commandment is that we love one another. And so I think when we have a holiday, that's, and I know the people that sell cards and candy probably came up with it, but I think God enjoys it in spite of that, because it gives us a special occasion to express our love one to another. I'll just testify a little bit tonight. I was in the 7th grade before I really understood what Valentine's Day was all about. In grade school, 1st through 6th grade, I didn't notice girls much. I had other things on my mind. I was a baseball fan. I had a dog that I enjoyed. I used to like to dig tunnels. I go out in the backyard and just dig a hole in the ground, start digging a tunnel. My dad didn't like it when his garden caved in one year, but I just enjoyed doing things like that. And so I didn't have much time for girls. I had a couple of them in kindergarten that chased me down and tried to kiss me. By the time I got in the first grade, I could outrun them, so I didn't have to worry about them. And I really didn't understand what Valentine's Day was all about until I got to the 7th grade. New girl, you know, you go to a combined junior high, and so I got to meet some girls that I didn't meet in grade school, and there was one that caught my interest that I really liked a lot. And so Valentine's Day came around, and I wanted to give her a Valentine. And so that particular year, I learned three things about Valentine's Day. I learned, first of all, that you give a Valentine to somebody you love or to somebody that you really like. I wasn't in love in the 7th grade. I didn't know really what it was. But I liked her a lot, and I wanted her to like me. And I thought that if you on Valentine's Day, if you give a girl a Valentine, that expressed your like for her. And I would tell you that love always expresses itself in giving. That verse that we read, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave." And people that love other people often express that love in what they give. When I was growing up, I knew that my mom and dad loved me, not because they had to, not just because I was their son, but they loved me because they gave over and over and over again to meet the needs of a little boy growing up. And that love continued really all of my life. My needs changed, but they still continued to meet those needs to express their love to me. And so love always, always expresses itself often in giving. The second thing I learned, and I've told you this story before, but it bears repeating. Second thing I learned about Valentine's Day is that the degree of the sacrifice that you have to make in giving the Valentine's Day gift expresses the degree of your love. And so I got summer jobs. My mom and dad didn't believe in giving allowances. They just believed in that you ought to do your chores because you were a member of the family, and they didn't pay you for that. But I did. I cut some grass and did some other things and shoveled snow. And I saw somebody posted on Facebook the other day, "Where are the little boys that used to shovel snow in the neighborhood?" I would have hired a couple of them if I'd been able to find them the last couple of weeks. But I had some money, and so I decided that when Valentine's Day came around, I would really splurge. So I went out to the dime store, those of you that remember what a dime store is, and I found a $3 Valentine. Now, $3 might not be much today, but for a kid who didn't get an allowance and had to work for every cent he got, $3 was a lot of money. And so I was ready to give this girl this $3 Valentine, but I found out that I wasn't the only one that noticed this girl. I had a competitor. His name was John Gannon. I'll never forget him. And word got around to seventh grade in some of the classes we were in together that he had bought this same girl a $5 Valentine. So not to be outdone, I decided to up the stakes. I gave the box of candy they had bought for $3. I reserved it to give to my mom, and I decided to go out and buy a $10 box of candy for this girl. Now, again, that was a gigantic sacrifice for me. $10 was a ton of money to me. Well, word got back to John that I had bought a $10 Valentine. He went out and bought a $20 Valentine. Well, it was a day before Valentine. I made my first request for a loan. I decided to give the $20 box of Valentine to my grandmother, and I went to my dad and I said, I had $15 left. I said, Dad, I need to borrow $10. He said, what for? I said, I need to buy a Valentine. Who for? Well, a girl at school. How much is this Valentine going to cost? $25. I can hear my dad now. $25 for a girl you just met? And I said, yes, but I only have 15. Could you loan me 10? I will pay you back. I won't spend any more money after this until I pay you back. I promise that. And he said, against my better judgment, I will loan you the $10. And so he loaned me the $10. I put it together with the 15 that I had, and I bought a $25 box of candy. Now, John found out about it. I don't know who the spy was in the group. He bought a $30 box of candy. Now, even in the seventh grade, well, I shouldn't say that. In the seventh grade, I didn't think any girl was worth $30. So I've since learned, though, that they're worth a lot more. But anyhow, back in the seventh grade, so I just decided, well, come what may, I'm just going to give her the box of candy that I've got. And if John gives her the $30 box of candy, so be it. Well, that's what happened. And I will tell you that nothing ever developed from me giving her that box of candy. I did find out a few weeks later that John's father owned a candy store, and he was getting a big discount on the candy that he was buying for, which I revealed to this young lady in an anonymous note, just so that she knew that he wasn't paying full price for those Valentines she was getting. But again, the degree of our sacrifice in buying and what we give shows the degree of our love. And let me just say, we love other people in ways other than just gifts. When we give the gift of our time, when we give the gift of ourselves, when we give the gift of our emotions, all of those are gifts that are given because we love. And the degree of our sacrifice expresses the degree of our love. And then the third thing I realized that first Valentine's Day in the seventh grade is that when you give a Valentine with like or love, whatever you want to call it, you hope that you're liked or loved in return. That's the desire of your heart, that Valentine, that the recipient of your Valentine will like you back. Will love you back. And again, I wanted this little girl to like me back, you know, to talk to me, just to be a friend. But again, that never happened. And again, I don't know if it was because I got outgives, if that had any problem, if that was the result of that. So let me tell you tonight, as we think about the Valentine that God has given to us, God gives Valentines to people he loves. The Valentine, again, I'll just, what he gave on Calvary when he gave his son was an expression of his love toward us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He loved us when he gave Jesus. It was an everlasting love. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 31, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." The love that God expressed to us is a love that will never end. I never saw that girl after the seventh grade. She moved away. Her family moved. That's the only year I ever saw her. But I'm glad we got a God who never moves, a God who never changes, a God that will love us with an everlasting love. It's an unconditional love. Romans 5:8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." He didn't wait till we deserved it. He gave us that love when we did not deserve it. And he gave it unconditionally. And he offers it to every person. Doesn't matter where we come from, what we've done, what we look like, what kind of background we come from, he offers that love to every single person. It's a caring love. It's a caring love. In 1 Peter 5:7, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." We have a God that loves us, that will meet our every need. He'll supply our every need. If somebody testified tonight that God will meet our every need. That's the kind of love that he has for us. And it's a preparing love. If you're reading the open windows for your devotion, Patty and I are using them this year. And again, I've mentioned this to some of you, but you know, when you read the Bible out loud, it's a different experience than just reading it to yourself. We're in the book of Leviticus, and we read the chapter about leprosy and all the different things that God prescribed. And every couple verses, Patty would ask me a question. "Well, what does that mean? What does that mean?" And finally, about the sixth one, I said, "Let's get through the chapter and save all your questions to the end, would you, so we can get done?" Because it's a long chapter. I can't wait till we get to the book of 2 Chronicles, Brother Ray, where I have to read out loud all those names. But I'm finding it's a different experience to read it out loud. But today, the scripture was from John chapter 14, if you're reading in the same place. I think it was 1 through 6 or 1 through 9, something like that, where Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." We have a God who loves us enough that he's preparing a place for us that we can spend all eternity with him in heaven. And so he loves us. He loves us. And that love is expressed by his giving. He gave us Jesus, the greatest gift of all, the greatest gift the world can know. But he gives us all the other things that go along with it. The care, the unconditional love. And again, it's all inclusive. He loved the world. He loved every one of us. And it's God's nature to give. I read a story about a widow who had one daughter, and her daughter got sick, and the widow was already working two or three jobs in order to make ends meet, and she had a lot of doctor bills. And one day, as she was getting ready to go out for the morning to spend the whole day at work, her little girl said to her, "Mama, I'd really like some grapes. If there's any way that you could just get me a couple grapes, I would really like to have some grapes." And so it was wintertime, and the mom really didn't know where she could get grapes. I mean, most of the time in the wintertime, just the grapes are where she lived were a lot more expensive than they were in the summertime. And so as she was on her way to work, she saw a big greenhouse. And she looked through the windows in the greenhouse, and she saw some grape vines with just big bundles of grapes on them. She found a door to go in, and she found just one guy that was working there, and she said, "Sir, excuse me." And he said, "Lady, I don't know who you are, but you need to get out. This is private property. I will lose my job if I let anybody in here. You need to leave the same way you came right now." And she said, "Please, sir, I noticed your grapevines. I was wondering if I could just buy a few grapes from you." And he said, "No, these grapes are not for sale. They belong to somebody else. I have no authority to sell them." And she tried to tell the man about her little sick daughter and said, "My little girl." And he said, "Lady, I don't care why you need them. I can't sell them. I do not have the authority to sell these grapes." And she said, "But I only need, it doesn't matter how many you need. Doesn't matter how many you want. They're not for sale. I don't have the authority to sell them." Just then, a young lady walked in. And she said to this mother, she said, what do you need?" And the mother said, "I just need 3 or 4 grapes. That's all I can afford to buy. I only have a shilling, just a penny. I only have a little bit of money, and I can't afford to buy many. But I have a sick daughter at home that asked me to get some grapes. And I was wondering if I could just buy 3 or 4 grapes from you." And the young lady said, "Well, hold out your apron." And she went over to the grapevine and began to not pull 2 or 3 grapes off, but to pull bunches of grapes off and put in this lady's apron. And the lady said, I can't afford all these. I only have 1 shilling to pay, and I just was looking to buy 3 or 4 grapes." And the young lady said, "Oh, no, no, oh, no, these grapes are not for sale. This is the king's greenhouse. And the king doesn't expect you to pay for them. He's giving them as a gift to you and your daughter." And I couldn't help but think, as I read that story, about the kindness of the king and the kindness of our king, who, when we didn't deserve it, sent his son to die in our place. So God understands that you give a Valentine to somebody you love. He did that when he gave us Jesus. He also understands that the sacrifice that you make when you give the Valentine expresses the degree of your love. Now, let me just remind you of some quick things tonight. God owns the cattle on a 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine. He owns everything in this world. He could have given us many things out of his abundance to pay for our salvation. Instead, he gave us the most precious thing that he had. He picked the one thing that he only had one of to give to us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. John 4 says, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." You just think about it. If the degree of sacrifice expresses the degree of love, how could God tell us any more? How could he tell us any deeper? How could he tell us in any other way how much he loved us? By giving us the only thing that he had one of, his only begotten Son. And then the third thing that God also understands about Valentine's Day is that he loves us and he gives and he hopes that he will be loved in return. That's what God wants from us. He wants us to love him back. That's what he desires. Now, I've been saved for almost 51 years. I've been preaching for over half that amount. I've tried to understand over and over again why God desires for us to love him back. I can't explain it. I can't explain it. Can't explain it to you. Can't explain it to myself. I don't understand why God, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, why God would want us to love him back. But he does. That's his desire. I guess I can understand it a little bit when I think back to when my children were little. I enjoy it now with at least one of my grandchildren. The boys are too old to do this anymore. But I can remember when Jessica and Adam were little. My favorite time of day was at the end of the day when I was home. And we'd read the Bible together, we'd pray together. And then they got ready to go to bed, and they would come up and hug me and give me a slobbery kiss and say, I love you, Daddy. Precious. That must be how God feels. He wants us to say, I love you, Daddy. And how can we not, since he loved us so much? Happy Valentine's Day. It's Valentine's Day with God every single day because he loves us. Thank you for being here tonight. Men will be praying. You're going to go back here, Brother Don, or okay, back in this room. Ladies, if there are any ladies that would like to pray, can meet over here. But let's stand together. Have a word of prayer. Thank you for being here tonight.